We know what needs to be done.
The solution is on the table, but they are no prepared to come to the table.
Well, it's time we let dolphins rule the world.
Well, we had a solution, but they shut the bugger down.
I find his remarks deeply offensive.
Yeah. We should all sit down together and have a nice cup of tea.
I give the youngsters solutions, and they do not listen.
We know what needs to be done.
Well, the solution is to play Dean Saunders up front.
And now it's time for the Mark Steele solution.
Good evening and welcome to the Mark Steele Solution, the programme where each week I come up with a radical proposal to change all of our lives for the better, and this week's proposal concerns crime. Because everyone is affected by crime, even if you live in a quaint little picturesque town. For example, the other day I was in Bath and somebody said to me, do you know what the latest thing is round here? Ram raids. And I thought, no, how do you have a ram raid in Bath? What happens if someone back a Citroen 2CV into the back of an antique shop? Get out and go, I think it's part of a pair. And then crime breeds crime, because for instance when you get burgled you know that you won't ever get your stuff back, so you play this little game with the insurance company where the bloke comes round and you go, yeah, that's right, there was another television in the toilet, that's right, yeah. Oh yeah, and in the garden there was an aeroplane, that's right, yeah. Probably how they made the getaway, yeah. And people make out that crime is a modern thing, but there's always been crime. For example, did you know that in a 40-year period in the 12th century, London was ransacked by the Vikings 8 times? So it must have been like living on a bad housing estate. By the 8th time, the Londoners must have just come home and gone, oh, no, not again. There's nothing left to take. Look, they've even had the moat. And then later on, they're probably saying to the insurance bloke, yeah, that's right, there was an extra drawbridge in the toilet, yeah. So what's needed is a way of stopping crime once and for all. And that is why tonight's solution is that criminals should decide their own punishment. So, if you're convicted of a crime, you can say, I sentence myself to drinking a cup of tea with milk that's on the turn. Or, right, I'm not allowed any marmalade for a week. Now, some people might think that this is a little bit lenient, but how successful is the present system at stopping crime? There's some places, for example, where burglary is so common that the burglar must have a regular round.
Morning, Mrs. Whitsnade.
Hello, dear. Nice weather. I see you've got a little helper.
Oh, yeah, I'm training him. Right, son, I'll do this one. You nip round the back and do number 24. That's a video, a TV and a set of candlesticks, and we'll call back for the money next week.
And on most estates, there's an open drug trade.
Here you are, ladies. No pushing, no shoving. You'll all get what you want.
Come along now. £10 a gram, you crack. Fresh crack, £10 a gram, you crack.
Glue, 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 glue. 50 pence, you glue.
Who will buy this beautiful heroin? I'm so high, I swear I could fly.
Lovely, right. Black Lebanese. 2 puffs, it'll blow your face off. What do you want, darling? Quarter? That's a little bit over there, all right.
And anyone who's got a car will have been the victim of car crime.
And you join us for the start of the Brazilian Grand Prix. And they're off. But Schumacher has pulled up. His car radio has been stolen. And there in Damon Hill's 2.3-litre Williams go 2 14-year-old joyriders from a council estate in Slough.
Now, the present system is based on punishment, but does the experience of prison make people less likely to commit crime? Well, in fact, to survive it at all, the last thing you're going to do is stand up in the prison canteen and say, well, I don't know about you, but I can see I've been a fool. I'm going to give up armed robbery and take up flower arranging. Now, when someone does get sentenced to jail, the judge might as well say, you are a common thief. I am condemning you to sit in a cell 23 hours a day with a man who's convinced he's a wolf. After which, you will be released back into society with no money, no job, and no prospects whatsoever. That'll stop you from stealing again. You could put just about anyone in prison, and after 2 years, they'd come out like a thug.
Welcome to Good Afternoon, and I'm delighted to have with me on the show one of Britain's best-loved entertainers. He's just out of prison for a crime which I'm sure he didn't commit. Would you please welcome Sir Cliff Richard?
Right, good. And, now, Sir Cliff, what was your time in prison like?
What's it to you, nonce? You want to gross me out of the screws?
And now, Cliff, have you bumped into Hank Marvin since you came out?
Shut it! I'm the governor on Good Afternoon now. Yeah. From now on, I ask the questions, and I've got a message for Sue Barker. You are a slag!
Well, thank you.
Oh, by the way, I'm not a virgin anymore. Got to crying, talking, sleeping, walking, living dogs!
The other punishment you get at the moment is fines. But these don't work either. For a start, you can't stop people being drunk and disorderly by fining them. When you're drunk, you're not rational enough to think, no, I'd better not be disorderly or I'll get a fine. Because if you were, you would have been rational enough to think, well, maybe it's too cold to go down the high street shouting, I am the King of Spain, stark naked in a Tesco's trolley. How much of a punishment a fine is depends entirely on your income. Because they say they take it into account, but they don't really. They say, how much do you earn? I'll get £35 a week, gyro. Then you will pay £10 a week. 25 is quite enough to live on. But if Cedric Brown was had up for fiddling his VAT returns, they wouldn't say, you earn £500,000 a week. Then you will pay £499,975 a week. 25 is quite enough to live on. And so if the object is to stop crime, the present system of punishment clearly is not working. But it's worse than that. Not only does it not stop crime, it also actually causes other problems. Because if you're going to have punishment, you've got to have someone to pass sentences. And that means having judges. These people are just completely out of touch.
Just a minute. Who is this Gazza you refer to?
Paul Gascoigne, my lad.
Paul who?
Professional footballer, my lad.
A footballer?
Yes, my lad, someone who plays football.
Football?
It's a game of skill played with a leather ball on a playing field, my lad.
A field?
An enclosed area of cultivated grass.
Grass?
Yes, it's that sort of green stringy stuff that comes up through the earth, my lad.
The earth?
It's the third planet in the solar system, my lad.
Me, lad?
And another thing wrong with the system of punishment is the effect it has on the police. Because they are the ones who have the power to threaten you with all this punishment. So they can be as arrogant and sarcastic as they like. And they must learn sarcasm at training school. They must all have to stand in a line going, can't you read her? I got stopped by one going the wrong way down a one-way street. Oi, 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 sorry, not big enough for you, sonny. And I thought, right, I know what to do. Just flatter him. Go, oh, constable, how can I apologise enough for making you, whose noble duty is to ensure the safety of honest citizens, to have to waste your precious moments on one so as unworthy as I. Truly, I have the serpent of sin within me. Oh, great shining one. Here, wasn't it you who caught the train robbers, right? Because then if you're like that to them, you flatter them, and then they just smile and let you off. And if you're rude to them, you just get a £20 fixed penalty. So who benefits from that? They do. Stupid, isn't it? And then I thought, oh, bollocks, will have me 20 quid's worth. I went, oi, 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 hardly the Sweeney, this job, is it? What you're doing? Tosspot, eh? There you go, 20 quid, take a cheque, that's a deal, get out. And then you get people saying, well, it's the uniform, you put someone in a uniform and they turn out sarcastic, it can't be helped, this is rubbish, the milkman wears a uniform. If you forget to leave him a note one day, he doesn't come round the next day going, like sour milk, do we, son? But this obsession with finding someone to punish means that there's pressure on the police to arrest somebody for every crime, even if it's the wrong person. So every couple of months you find you get another case like this.
Chief Inspector, how do you feel after this latest appeal court ruling?
The man in question has been released, proving once again that the system works.
But an innocent man has spent 7 years in jail for a crime he didn't commit.
At the time of the arrest, we had every reason to believe that he was the man responsible for the Harrow bank robbery.
But, Inspector, the security cameras clearly showed that the thief was a 7-foot-tall white man with a beard, whereas the man you arrested was 5'6", black and totally blind.
We believe that it would have been possible for the suspect to have entered the bank stooping whilst carrying on his shoulders a 3-foot-tall white-bearded dwarf, who, incidentally, we are still very keen to interview in connection with this crime. Furthermore, there was the confession.
Yes, this confession, Inspector, is the one obtained by an undercover female police officer.
That is correct.
Who trapped the suspect by saying, I would sleep with you morning, noon and night if only you had done that bank job in Harrow and confessed it into this tape recorder.
I have nothing but praise for the actions of WPC Michelle Pfeiffer.
Did you at no time, Inspector, check out his alibi, which was, after all, backed up by 40,000 witnesses?
We believed that the witnesses were unreliable.
40,000 witnesses who all agreed that at the time of the robbery, he was at Wembley Stadium, on stage, singing I Just Called to Say I Love You, as part of the Stevie Wonder Global Harmony Tour.
So what does cause crime? Well, some people say that television is responsible, but there is a flaw in this argument, which is that televisions have been around for 50, maybe 60 years at the most, and crime, I think you'll find, for a shade longer. Like, what caused highwaymen then? Was there roaming gangs of actors going around villages doing excerpts from the Sweeney? And then there's the desperate politician's answer, which is to stand up at their conference and just shout things like, I blame the parents, or I blame the teachers. But this is just meaningless. They might as well say, I blame the barbers, or I blame the fishmongers. And then you get Tony Blair going on telly and saying, and so do I. But it is the government who are soft on fishmongers. We will be tough on fish and tough on the causes of fish. They blame it on e-numbers, Power Rangers, computer games, immigration, the decline of religion, Eric Cantona, and yet every study that's ever done says that the poorer people are, the more likely they are to commit crimes, which is why you don't get scenes like this.
Gentlemen, I call this board meeting to order. It's been a good year for Amalgamated Biscuits. Pre-tax profits reached a record £26 million. However, I believe Simon has a proposal which may be of some interest to us. Simon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Look, gentlemen, I've been looking into the opportunities here offered by the Stock and Park Estate in South London. I suggest that after this meeting, a delegation from the company should go there, hang about in the cold for half an hour or so, and then jump on a passerby and snatch her handbag.
Yes, our initial projections showed that this scheme should yield a dividend of up to £2 or £3 each, with a possible bonus if we get someone who's just cashed their pension. Sophie, how are the plans for Mr. Ishinaka's visit going?
As you know, it's very important, right, to impress our Japanese parent company, okay? So I've therefore arranged that Mr. Ishinaka is taken straight from Heathrow, right, to a council estate in Slough, where we'll break into a Ford Escort, okay, and then drive round and round at 90 miles an hour doing handbrake turns, right, before smashing into a line of parked vehicles, and then we'll make our escape over a wall, okay, right?
Yes, that's good work, Sophie. Gentlemen, I propose a toast. So if you would all raise your bags of glue to the prosperity of the company.
So, clearly, the present system has to change. The only question is, what do we put in its place? Well, before we hear what alternatives there are, let's hear from our regular correspondent, the man in the cul-de-sac, live from number 9 Begonia Close, it's Mr. Cul-de-sac.
This is the sound, this is the sound of the summer.
Crime! Don't talk to me about crime! Nobody cares! Look at him next door! 3 weeks he's had a 50cc moped, no one's arrested him once! He's lucky I didn't call the army. It's an outrage. And why can't they catch the train robbers? How many people do you know with a train stuck in their back garden? I've a good mind to go out to Paddington myself and nick the 8:35 to Cardiff. Whoa, different then. And what about that Inspector Morse swanning off to Provence for a year? He won't catch any criminals there. It's a waste of ratepayers' money. They've got to spend that money hanging people. They asked me to do jury service. I said, I'm not coming in wasting my time. He's guilty. They say, that's the clerk of the court, Mr. Cul-de-sac. I said, oh, any excuse and you let him off. And why have they still got the old Bailey? It's time they got a new one. It's an outrage. And what about that woman across the road? 25 minutes she was using that electric whisk. I made a citizen's arrest. I said, it's disturbing the peace. The terrible racket, she said. It's only yesterday you tried to arrest me for planting a clerodendron in an exposed spot. And what about them young hooligans in their cars? Up and down at 120 miles an hour, screeching and skidding all over the place. I rang the police. They said, it's on the telly, Mr. Cul-de-sac. You're watching the Belgian Grand Prix. I said, oh, God, help that. I've written some letters here to the Home Secretary. Here they are. Dear Home Secretary, yesterday I saw one of your judges on the news. He was a drawing. Can't you get any proper ones? Here's another. Dear Home Secretary, why is there always a policeman outside 10 Downing Street? He shouldn't be the Prime Minister if he shouldn't stop stealing things here. Dear Home Secretary, why, that's as far as I got with that one, but it's coming on, don't you think?
This is the sound, this is the sound.
Thank you, Mr. Cul-de-sac. Another answer you hear nowadays is from these scientists who say, we are close to identifying the criminal gene. And then one day they'll say, we are proud to announce that not only have we identified it, we can now subdivide it into a burglary gene, a mugging gene, and a driving without due care and attention gene. It seems that the Birmingham Six all possessed a get banged up for something you didn't do gene. If it did exist, you could imagine these demonstrators getting up in court saying, oh, sorry, Your Honour, what could I do? It was just me chucking rubble at the police gene playing up, wasn't it? So surely everyone would agree that the only way to stop crime is to let criminals decide their own punishment. Now, some people might think that if you could give yourself a sentence like, just say, washing up a saucepan that's been used for scrambled egg, then everyone would just go out and steal things. Well, yes, they would. And that's the beauty of this scheme. Because if people could get away with stealing things, you'd have no more fear of being burgled. Because who's going to break in and steal your stuff when they can go down to Curry's and take whatever they want?
Hello, welcome to Crime Watch, an ordinary street in Warrington, and yet every one of the residents has just acquired a brand new video, CD player and microwave oven. Coincidence? The Merseyside police don't think so. Now, Buckingham Palace, last Wednesday night, a break-in, the building is stripped bare. Thieves make off with over £10 billion worth of property. Chandeliers, antique rugs, a sentry box. Police are looking for a crowd of 200,000 people. Did you see them? Were you one of them? If so, Vine Street CID would like to hear from you. And if you need any persuading to come forward, we leave you with the words of this frail elderly lady.
It was dreadful. One has nothing left. I mean, they didn't even pay the £8 entrance fee.
Now, wouldn't there be a problem of people taking too much? Well, what would be the point of that? If you could take as much milk as you wanted, would you say, right, well, instead of taking the 3 pints I need, I'm going to take 20. That way I can put the other 17 pints in the corner until they make such a stink that the police come round going, like sour milk, do we, sonny? Now, you might think, yeah, but people would take things so they could sell them. Well, who would you sell them to? You'd have to be an idiot to go round the pubs going, here, mate, want a telly, 20 quid? No, I've already got three, mate, got them down Dixon's. All right, then tenner. And so, if criminals could decide their own punishment, there'd be no more of the crimes which poverty causes. No burglary, no mugging, no vandalism. Just theft from major high street stores and Buckingham Palace. Now, what about the crimes which aren't caused by poverty? What about the real sicko crimes? Well, does anybody listening seriously believe that the only thing that's stopping them from burying their neighbours in the garden and covering them with a patio is that it's against the law? And that if you didn't get punished for it, you'd be on the next train to Gloucester with a shovel and a cement mixer and every morning be in the garden. Going, morning, Mrs. Jones, I've got the milkman down here. Psychos are the last people that punishment stops. They don't get halfway through putting someone's head in a fridge and then think, or is this against the law? Of course you have to lock them up, but not as a punishment or a deterrent. It's just for the same reason that we don't allow lions to roam around shopping centres. Sense. You don't have a trial with some old duffer going, you are a habitual lion and a menace to zebras.
And you wouldn't have any drug-related crime, because most crimes to do with drugs are a result of poverty, which our scheme has wiped out. The other ones are all the gang warfare stuff, which only happens because drugs are illegal. It's like all the crime that happened because of prohibition in America. Make anything that a large number of people want to do illegal, and it'd be exactly the same.
Chicago, 1925. Thanks to the prohibition of book lending, illegal libraries are springing up all over town.
What are you drinking, sugar?
You don't fool me, sweetheart. This ain't no bar. I know you're running a reference section somewhere around here.
Why, officer, this bar is strictly illiterate. Now, if you'll excuse me. Yes, honey?
Give me a Jack Daniels and a Steinbeck on the rocks. Hemingway sent me.
Okay, sugar. I'll show you through the back.
Can I assist you, sir?
I got a message for Spetz. I got two cases of Jane Austen coming in Monday. Now get me some Twain and make it snappy.
Very good, sir.
Cheers. Say, what is this? This stuff ain't even printed. It's handwritten. You're trying to pass me off with moonshine here.
Police! This is a raid!
Now, what do we do about the handful of people left who, no matter how fair society was, would still be determined to act like pigs? The sort of people who, even if they could help themselves to every possession they wanted from shops, would still break in next door just so they could nick the goldfish and be sick in the bowl. Well, at the moment, all that matters is, did you break the law? Whereas under our scheme, that's irrelevant. What matters is, what sort of crime did you commit? So if you've committed a socially acceptable crime, like, say, walking up to Danny Baker and punching him in the mouth, no one would mind. Whereas, if you've decided to knock an old lady on the head and steal her cat food, everyone would despise you. And under our system, they wouldn't have any of those woolly liberal, oh, it was poverty made me do it excuses. You'd be like the kid at school who gets his briefcase filled with worms and his underpants nicked after games and draped over the school clock during assembly. 6 months of that and you'd be desperate for a chance to be accepted back into society. And so not only would you solve all the problems of crime, just think of the other advantages. It'd be much better for judges, because they'd be almost irrelevant now that they didn't have to pass sentence, so they could just spend most of their time in an old home, like most senile people as daft as them. And their relatives could come in, and they'd be rocking in a chair going, that young woman was asking for it, walking round with her neck exposed. Yes, of course she was, Grandad. It seems to me that Britain would be a better place if they brought back the ducking stall. Of course it would. Have another green one. Calm down. And another advantage. That bloke off morning telly wouldn't have to feel so embarrassed about nicking things. And another thing. Masochists could give themselves the sentences they'd like.
And so, members of the jury, I plead guilty to over-pruning a clematis in the autumn. I am a menace to society, and it really is time that I was taught a lesson. I therefore sentence myself to be tied to a donkey, beaten with a square of coconut matting, pecked by a swan, and stood in a bucket of cod.
You lucky bastard!
Sit down, Mr. Boff.
And so, with the Marksville solution in place, the police would then be free to spend the whole day genuinely stopping crime. All right, sir, would you mind getting out of the car?
Oh, what seems to be the trouble, officer?
Did you know your offside rear light isn't working?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realise...
Never mind all that. Watkins, you know what to do. Mend it for him.
Yes, Todd.
Oh, by the way, is this your car?
I stole it from a showroom.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to sentence yourself.
Oh, all right. I have to drink a cup of tea with the milk on the turn.
Oh, like sour milk, do we, sonny?
The Steel Solution was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair, who also performed it with Maria McKerlane and Kim Wall. The producer was Phil Clark.